right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us this morning as we gather together to hear your word. Fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom. Lord, again, we thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to bring glory and honor to you. Help us to love you who first loved us. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, just to greet you all again this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Open our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Again, verse 21. Long time ago, when I first began preaching, a preacher told me that it doesn't really matter where you start, just go to the cross in your message. And their thought, whenever they were saying that, was that make sure you get to the place where everyone knows that Jesus died for them and that they could be saved because they believe that he died for them. But there's a lot missed in that. Whenever Jesus talks about the cross, that is a cross for us. And that is what will get us through. That's what will win the battle for us. Not just because Jesus has already died on his cross, that he had to do that to provide the way, but there is a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me, as the song goes. We live in a time where there's all kinds of extremes in religion. From that to where people can just say a prayer and they'll be saved because Jesus died for them, to the very strict that are putting excess rules upon themselves, trying to control their own lives. And we talk about both. And sometimes in talking about those that are too unconcerned, we tend to get strict. And then when we talk about those who are strict, they have a lot of religion, but nothing really real about them, we tend to go the other way. But there's one way that will lead us to the Lord and bring us to the Lord. We had a message one time, the right way, the wrong way, and the cross. And it's the cross that will lead us there to the Lord. We can be right. We can do everything right. We can make right decisions. We can be different than the rest of the world and still be wrong. We see the wrong way as everybody just doing their own thing. But there's more than one way to be wrong. And the hardest way to understand or to discern about being wrong is being right. You know, whenever you're right, it's hard to be wrong. But when you're right and you're still wrong, but you can't recognize it, that almost seals your being wrong. the right, the wrong, or the cross. Being right is not what's going to get us to heaven. Just like being wrong will not get us to heaven. It's the cross that will get us there. In this verse in Luke, they ask who he was. He asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" They gave several things. And then verse 21, he says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day." This is horrifying news to the disciples and anyone who loved the Lord. We all want to be accepted. And the idea that we would be rejected, even by people that we maybe don't have much respect for, is still difficult. These were the people in the authority, or in their own authority at least, and they was going to be rejected by them. The elders, the chief priests, the scribes. And then it said, and be killed and raised the third day. A lot of times when we hear the message of Jesus and the story of Jesus dying on the cross, it's pretty synthetic. It's pretty galvanized. It's pretty clean. But whenever the people in the Bible talked about a cross, it was something that brought chills down their spine. We read about the cross and Jesus dying, and you know, we just, oh yeah, Jesus died on the cross. People say it every day, flippantly, when we forget that those nails were real. That cross was heavy. That cross had blood all over it. It's a filthy thing. Just looking at it. Something that we would look at and we would just want to shield our eyes or just turn away. We wouldn't even want to look at it. I mean, we shudder to think of a scene where someone's just torn apart or cut up or things like that, and there's blood everywhere. I mean, it just gives us the willies. This is what happened when Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't a pretty sight. We have these crosses made out of gold and silver and are painted real pretty on the wall, nice and smooth and beautiful things, supposedly representing this, but it's a false representation at best, because the cross was nothing pretty to look at. It's ugly, horrifying. And he told them that he was going to be killed. When we think of someone dying, we don't even hardly think about it the same way that we would with Jesus. It's just become religion. But Jesus was killed. I mean, we hear of stories of people being taken away and tortured, and it's so far removed from us, but we hear about it sometimes. That's what happened to Jesus. He was taken, mocked, tormented, tortured, and then hung on a cross. What have you and I to say of ourselves? when we see the picture of the Son of Man, the Son of God, treated that way? Where can I boast? Where is my claim for anything? When that's what Jesus received when he was here. We can become so proud of ourselves because we do so many things right. Maybe we've been a good influence on people. Maybe we've helped people. But you take everything that you are, everything that you've done, every little choice that you've made, and lay it right beside Jesus laying on the cross, hanging on the cross, them driving the nails in his hands and feet. That's what our efforts are going to be weighed beside. And to just think that we can just do whatever we want to do, live our life the way ever we want to, and just thank God that Jesus died for us, that attitude will be laid right beside Jesus on the cross as well. The best effort that we could put forth that's full of pride and self-satisfaction and religion will be laid right beside that. Verse 23, and he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me. This is where the story changes everything. We think being saved is believing that Jesus died for us. But if anyone wishes to come after me. See, this is what it means to believe Jesus. Many of the people that were in the Sunday school lesson saw miracles and great things and they loved what he could do for them. But how many followed him? How many believed him enough to do like the tax collector? Matthew, whenever Jesus came by, he rose up, left all, and followed him. That's what it means to believe him. If any man wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. And here, deny himself, we've talked about this before. It's not just punishing yourself. It's denying yourself. It's doing like Jesus did. Jesus was the Son of God. He could have came down here and set up a kingdom and had people follow and worship him right here on the earth while he was here. He had the ability and the power to do that. He could have been the king. But he denied himself. You know, we teach people, the young people, to do the best that they possibly can. And that is a good thing. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. But that does not mean set your heart on being as successful as you can be. That means if you deny yourself and have to just be a servant, you be the best servant you can. If you're given a job or a task to do, you do the best that you can. Put your all into it. That's a good thing. But that does not mean that if you can make yourself a king, make yourself a king. Denying yourself is keeping yourself in the place where you can be a humble servant. Jesus had the opportunity to do that. He could have had the world by the tail. But he denied himself, humbled himself, to the death, even the death of the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, it says, and delivered him from that. But he denied himself and took upon the role that God wanted him to be. I just look at the men in the Bible. Paul. What could Paul have accomplished in this world if he had set his sights on the world? He could have been a king as well. He could have excelled in whatever area he wanted to excel in. But he denied himself. And that's where the test of discipleship comes. He could have been one of the most religious men and most successful religious people in all time. He could have taken his abilities and applied himself diligently to them and could have been a leader that world, the people, a religious leader that people would have stood in awe about at that time. And yet, he was hunted. He had to hide. He was beaten. It tells all about what he went through. Suffering. Shipwrecked. Flogged. Because he didn't choose those things. He denied himself. These are the qualifications. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Daily and follow me. This cross is a difficult thing. But it's the cross that is what is going to be the key to heaven. The cross that we carry. The cross that the Lord gives us to carry is what He's going to require for entrance into heaven. So many people try to create their own crosses. Try to just punish themselves and make themselves' lives hard. But that's not what he's talking about. If we will believe what Jesus said, deny ourselves, and take up our cross, it doesn't matter how good you are, you won't be accepted. It don't matter how many miracles you're able to perform. You'll still be hated. To deny yourself is to deny the privilege of being somebody in this world. To deny the privilege of accomplishing something in this world. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. We can save our life in the religious world just like we can in the real world. There's people who devote their lives to religion, like Paul. Could have been very successful in the religious world. But he denied himself. And was a simple disciple of Jesus. And was despised and rejected for it. See, a lot of times we equate all of this with the world. But there's a religious world that's just as real as anything else. The difference is the cross. denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following him. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. You've got to lose to win. You've got to die to live. You've got to give your life away to receive a life. In verse 25, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? What does it matter if we gain this whole world and lose our souls? It says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Whoever is ashamed of me, remember what he just said in his words. Remember what he just spoke in his words. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up by the third day. See, it's not much shame to be ashamed of his commandments. Very few people are ashamed of his commandments. Very few people are ashamed of his teachings. But people are ashamed of suffering. The shame. People are ashamed of the reproach. People are ashamed of being rejected. That's where you associate with Jesus, because that's where he is. Those are the words he's talking about being ashamed of. Him being rejected, being a loser. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, with the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Associating with him in his loss. Associating with him in his cross. Associating with him in his shame. We can make glorious religion out of anything. And be ashamed of his loss. That's why the Bible talks about the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. People delight in that. Oh yeah, it's just so simple to believe that Jesus died for you, and it's just foolishness to everyone else. That's not what he's talking about. Preaching of the cross is the preaching of loss, suffering, separation, rejection, and death. That's foolishness. I've got religion. I know the Bible. I'm a good person. I'm helping people. We can do all those things. But without the cross, we're just fanning the air. May the Lord add his blessings.